Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So, last night's hockey game was incredibly entertaining, and all the action came really in the third period. And if you wanted to watch the Preds' hometown broadcast on Bally Sports, if you had Comcast, well, you're out of luck. Because in the middle of the third period, Ian, you can attest to this as a Comcast viewer.
It was 11:24 p.m. at my house.
The game just went off. Goodbye, Nashville Predators, in the middle of a playoff game. Now, the good news is the game was on TBS. And I was already watching TBS because I got YouTube TV, and we don't have Bally Sports and haven't had Bally Sports in forever anyways. And so last night, I got a message from somebody that was like, hey, just an FYI, you know, the Bally Sports is going to go dark. Supposedly, it was going to be at 11 p.m. Ian, you said it was officially what time?
It was 11:24 when the, like, you know, screen went to the, like, screensaver kind of thing.
So when it went to that, you know, at 11:24, somebody said, hey, tell people the game's going to be on TBS. And this is about the 900th screw-up that has to involve Bally Sports. Now, I feel bad for the Bally Company, you know, the casino or whatever, because they don't actually own Bally Sports. They bought that as the naming rights because Bally Sports is so bankrupt that it's called Diamond Sports Group, is the subsidiary of Sinclair that owns it. They are so bankrupt that they sold the naming rights to a network, you know, kind of like a stadium. Have you ever heard of that? Could you imagine NBC, instead of being NBC, just becoming Amazon Channel? That's literally what this is. That's how poor Bally Sports is. And, I mean, as somebody like me, a cord cutter, I cut the cord in 2018. I moved into a new home. I had had traditional cable, and when I moved into the new home, the cable provider, it was AT&T, the cable provider could not provide at my new house. So I had to get another, I had to get another provider. So I looked at Comcast, and when I looked at Comcast, they were going to charge me like $10 extra per month, per box, for HD, for DVR. And it, like, that, you know, I got a lot of TVs in my house. That got to be expensive, and I was like, we're not doing that. And Ryan Porth, who's a program director at the time, said to me, he goes, we were actually at a Preds game where we had had a suite for the game. It was a regular season game, and we had brought in a bunch of winners, you know, for a contest, you know, watch the game with us. And Porth was telling me about how he had YouTube TV. And I was like, huh, that works. And the guy who was, you know, one of our loyal listeners who was at the game was like, oh, yeah, I've got it. It's great. So I said, let's do that. And I've never thought about going back to regular cable since. Have not even thought about it. And America is trending in that direction day by day. But see, the problem is that Bally Sports has to make the kind of money that they made before we had cord-cutting options. That money doesn't exist. And so because of that, Bally Sports needs a bunch of money, and the cable provider's like, we're not going to pay it. And because of that, people like me and you and Ian and the fans get screwed. The Atlanta Braves are the number one team in the South, period. There is not a more popular sports team in the southern part of the United States than the Atlanta Braves. Why? Because, you know, Charlotte's got a hockey team. They got a basketball team. Atlanta's got a basketball team. Memphis has a basketball team. How many baseball teams are around here? One. The Braves. Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, North Carolina. They all root for the Braves. Comcast is in all of those homes. Those people can now not watch the Atlanta Braves. And you can't stream it either because it's blacked out. So let me tell you what the solution needs to be here. The solution, in my opinion, needs to be that the United States government needs to get involved in this and end what they started. And you're going to say, end what they started. What do you mean? So here's a little inside baseball on how this all went down. Remember when it used to be Fox Sports Tennessee? So that was because it was owned by Fox. And so each, you know, one of those channels, Fox Sports Tennessee, Fox Sports Ohio, Fox Sports South, Fox Sports Southeast, whatever. When Fox sold most of their assets to Disney, I believe this was 2018, the Department of Justice, why is the Department of Justice involved in the regional sports networks? I don't know. But in order to keep Disney from having a monopoly, required that they divest the regional sports networks. So Disney had to sell all the regional sports networks, and the only person that wanted it, because, again, buying a cluster of television stations that only make money by being on cable and basically people that don't even watch them, like my 90-year-old grandmother in Florida that has probably spent $20,000 over the last 25 years to not watch the Marlins, Heat, and Florida Panthers. Nobody thought that was a good business model except for Sinclair that bought it. And then they had to make the money off of it. Well, that industry is dead. It's over. It's dying. Had they not forced Disney to divest the stations, had Disney been able to keep them, they probably could have branded them as ESPN or made them a part of ESPN. ESPN Plus. You know, use that as a part of it so that, again, people like me living in Nashville could watch the Braves, could watch the Preds, could watch the whatever. They could do all of that. And there's these contracts and the cable providers and everything. And I'm like, you know what? You guys talking about the government, you guys are the ones that put us in this mess to begin with. Everything was fine before Bally Sports, before, you know, again, Disney had to divest the stations. Everything was fine. You guys got us in this mess. You guys got to get us out of this mess. Well, why do the politicians care about that? I don't know. The politicians care about the stadiums, don't they? They always get involved in that. Why can't they get involved in this? This is something that people care about. But what's happening with these sports teams, I mean, it's disgraceful. Did you know if you live in Cleveland, Ohio, and you have Comcast, you cannot watch the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs? If you have YouTube TV, you cannot watch the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs because apparently the Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers series is on NBA TV, but it's blacked out in the local markets. So you have to watch it on Bally Sports. Yeah, you don't have Bally Sports.
That's hardcore that they'd black out a playoff game on NBA TV.
Congratulations. Game 5. Can you watch it? Nope. And here's where I think the teams, I feel bad for the teams because they're going to lose money on this. All of them are. Like, this may lead to a strike in baseball. I'm serious about that. Because baseball is the sport that makes punches well above its weight in terms of the money they make off these TV contracts. And that money will not be there as the regional sports network decline dies. Rob Manfred thinks he's going to make it back by streaming, and he might. Because that baseball package is not cheap. But the problem with the teams is it's really hard to get people excited about sports they can't watch. And all of us that are in the demographic for making purchasing decisions all grew up with watching regular season games on cable at no extra cost that we had to pay. And so, I mean, I feel bad for Willie and Chris and Lindsay and Hal, and I feel bad for them because, I mean, how many people that are fans of the Predators can actually get the Predators TV broadcast? Now, the good news is, again, the Predators were on TBS. So if you were watching Comcast, you could flip over. I assume you flipped over last night into TBS?
Flipped over to TBS? Yeah, I did.
And, you know, hey, that is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, you're not the Cleveland Cavalier fans on Fox Sports Ohio and, or Bally Sports.
And for some reason, the stream on my phone through the Bally app lasted through the entire game. even though on cable it did not, the stream on my phone lasted through the entire game. So I was able to kind of keep an ear on both.
And so with that, I mean, like, to me, as a sport fan, this is an epidemic. And it's not just Bally, by the way. It's all the regional sports networks. They've been having a free lunch for years, for decades. And it's over. I remember when this all started. Dish Network, which also owns Sling TV, which is like YouTube TV or Hulu Live or whatever, they decided about 5 or 6 years ago they weren't going to carry the regional sports networks. They said, you know what? We're not going to do it. You want too much money? And we don't think that the people that have Sling TV or Dish TV, we don't think that these people care enough to cancel their cable and get somebody else to watch the games. Let's see. And it worked. There weren't a lot of people, supposedly, that made it worth their while. Well, once that happens, everybody else is going to follow suit. And that's what's happened. And so if you want to watch the games, your only option now is DirecTV, which does have a streaming service, and Fubo. Well, I mean, here's what's crazy. I've become so accustomed to YouTube TV, like, I'm not canceling it. Now, I'm in a different position because, you know, I don't know if this is a crime, what I'm about to say. So maybe I should just let it be. But, you know, I found my way how to watch games. And at the same time, it's just, I mean, these sports leagues and teams, I feel bad for them. But reality is, man, if you can't get your games on TV, it's hard for me to envision people caring about you. So the good news for the Predators is that they're in the playoffs. And that Game 5 will be on one of these channels, ESPN, TBS, TNT, whatever. And by the way,
it's on TNT.
Game number six will be at 6 o'clock on Friday. So at 6 o'clock on Friday, you said it's TNT?
TNT, that is correct.
Thank God, TNT's broadcast is so much better than ESPN's. Oh, my God. I also, yesterday on ESPN's broadcast, P.K. Subban was talking about the Bruins after they lost last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, how dare the Bruins and those players have that opportunity to take them out and they play. If you want to be a cup contender, you win those games. I'm like, PK, I remember when you lost to Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, in the exact same situation, that punch in Judy Avs team. I don't want to hear it from you, PK. But again, thank God it's on TNT. But that will be 6 o'clock on Friday. So at least have that in there. A lot of you want to weigh in on this, so we'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. My thing is this. It's time for the government to get involved because they're the ones that forced this on us with this Bally Sports bullcrap, and it's time for them to end it one way or another. We'll get your phones on it. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
Willie, we had a texter in the text line that, you know, your phone was going in and out earlier. He says maybe Comcast blacked out your call midway through. Where'd you go last night, Willie?
Yeah, we were made aware of that, right, you know, right before, earlier in the day. So we knew that was going to happen. And so these are things that are just out of your control, right? It's way, way above our heads. So that was very, very unfortunate. Somebody put on the Twitter, it was Heidi. And so people that can go way back to the infamous Jets Raiders game on NBC back in the 60s, where they switched to the movie Heidi in the middle of an exciting game. I guess that happened if you were on Comcast Xfinity last night. So that was a serious bummer. But hopefully that gets worked out sooner than later.
That was Willie today on the Midday Show. Hey, what a zinger by Caroline there. And you could tell, like, how, I don't want to say, like, how uncomfortable Willie was, but you could tell Willie's pissed about the Comcast Bally Sports thing. I mean, can we get to Caroline? Can we play this cut again? Caroline, again, I love this zinger. You could tell Willie's pissed. And Willie should be pissed. It means people can't watch him call the game. Play it again.
Willie, we had a texter in the text line that, you know, your phone was going in and out earlier. He says maybe Comcast blacked out your call midway through. Where'd you go last night, Willie?
Yeah, we were made aware of that, right, you know, right before, earlier in the day. So we knew that was going to happen. And so these are things that are just out of your control.
I love it. You can tell he's like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. By the way, it should be noted, and this is actually important. All the games are right here, 102.5 The Game. Not only is it free to listen to on the radio, it's also free to stream it on the app. It's also free to stream it on our website. But not only that, like, as the Predators play more nationally televised games, and hopefully it's more than just Friday night. Hopefully it's, you know, for another month and a half. But as that continues, we will have Predators pregame, postgame, all of that like we normally do. And, you know, with Bally Sports, if you're not able to watch their pregame shows, we got our pregame show. And, again, you can stream all of that. You can listen to it on the radio. You can hear it however you want. You know, so that is should be noted, I think, is not only good for business but also important to know. And we will continue with our extra programming as the Predators continue to play on like we did last night with our pregame coverage starting at 6. But as far as sitting down and watching the games on TV, I mean, to me, here's the thing. So somebody texted me and said, you know, the big thing here is baseball. And I know that for us, it's about the Predators and what happened last night and how it went out and everything else. And I'm sick of it for the Predators. I'm sick of it for the Braves. But the problem is, somebody said, well, what if they sold their rights to an Apple TV or an Amazon or a somebody like that? So the short answer is it's incredibly hard for baseball to do that, and baseball is the straw that stirs the drink here. It's incredibly hard for baseball to do that because all of these contracts have different end dates. So what baseball's waiting is they're waiting for all of these TV contracts to be done anyways because they want to end the blackout regulations that right now, I mean, I think the Braves and Reds, I know, are blacked out here. I think the Cardinals are blacked out here. If you have MLB TV, I don't know why. St. Louis is 6 hours away or whatever, but I think that that might be blacked out too. And so what they want is they want everybody to be able to buy MLB TV and just stream their team. I mean, I know it's crazy to think of doing that. That's what they want. The problem is that they have deals with the TV companies, the cable companies, and those deals, or with the Bally Sportses of the world, and those deals say that, you know, hey, the digital rights can't overlap where there should be cable rights. And that's going to be a problem. Somebody texted in, Amazon tried to buy a stake in Bally Sports. You know, pay X amount of dollars, and then, hey, here's a Prime Video channel for Bally Sports. And that may be able to save Bally Sports, but what I was told was the NHL and NBA, I think, are on board with this idea. Baseball's not. Well, Bally Sports can't exist without baseball, so it doesn't matter. Supposedly, the middle of June is going to be when this push comes to shove with the bankruptcy courts and everything else. I mean, that's the reality of it. But, I mean, again, I don't know how they do this. You know, these sports leagues have so much CYA and everything. You ever looked at the back of a ticket, which now the tickets are digital, but you can click ticket details and it'll pop up and it has all that legalese. And basically the legalese should be summed up as saying, hey, I know you paid $100 for this ticket, but we can do whatever we want whenever we want. So if we want to rain the game out and play it in September, sorry about it. That's how it goes. If we decide that we're going to just cancel the game in the middle of the game, sorry about it, is what it is. Like, that's basically what the back of the ticket says. Surely these TV contracts, these teams and leagues can get out of this stuff, right? Like, figure it out. Put your games on TV. That's what people want. One texter into the text line says that people are going to go with Netflix or whatever because WWE is going to Netflix again. So here's what makes the NFL what the NFL is that the other sports don't have. I don't know the exact amount of dollars, but my guess is the New York Rangers make more money off their TV deal with MSG Networks than the Predators do with Bally Sports because it's the New York Rangers. The Yankees obviously make a lot more money off the YES Network than the Pittsburgh Pirates probably make off their network. Now, baseball does have some revenue sharing, but what the NFL did when Pete Rozelle was the commissioner and the AFL and the NFL merged, what they did was they got together and they said, all of our games, all of our TV inventory is going to be together. So the Dallas Cowboys make as much money from television as the Tennessee Titans. And while that's a bad deal for the Dallas Cowboys aren't the Dallas Cowboys if the NFL isn't as popular as the NFL is today. And so all those teams are in it together, whether you're the Steelers or you're the Bengals, you know, like it's, and because of that, they can just all negotiate at one time. But all these other sports can't do it because they're all individually run and local deals and things like that. For whatever that's worth. One texter goes, I thought it was common knowledge if something goes wrong with the TV broadcast, you could open up the app. The problem with that is that you're losing the app to the Predators on Bally. You're losing that on the app too.
If you have Comcast, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you sign in with your TV provider and you have to have all your info and asks you, you know, your TV provider, who that is. And then it goes through that. So I guess they'll probably just cancel, you know, whoever's signed in through Xfinity.
So I believe, Ian, that like on Friday night, you're going to have to watch
on TBS or TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just reality.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a bummer. I'll be honest. Like, you know, I'm not like, oh, I have to watch the game on Bally, but I just prefer to watch the game on Bally because they give you more information about the team you care about, you know?
Sure. So. Well, I mean, again, it's like I'm talking about how
and, of course, we love Willie and Chris.
Sure.
And how.
Talking about Lindsay. Talking about our pre- and post-game shows and everything else. Like, I don't know about you guys, but when I do watch the national broadcasts. I watch the national broadcast because I don't want to log into the DirecTV app. But I just click two clicks on the TV, and I'd rather have it. But when they go to intermission, they don't talk about the Predators. When the game's over, you know, there was SportsCenter after game one of the Vancouver series. It was a very exciting game, even though the Predators lost, and it goes right to SportsCenter, and it's like, all right, let's go to game one of the Bucks and whoever they played in the NBA playoffs.
Last night's postgame was kind of a buzzkill for that because the game was over, and it was on TBS, and it was like immediately they talked about the Preds game, but then they immediately moved on to, you know, I can't remember whichever game they were, I guess probably Toronto-Boston, and immediately moved on to that. And Bally carries all the press conferences.
Bingo.
They have all the breakdowns. And it's like, you don't get any of that. You know, I switched over to our app and listened to Max, hers, on our postgame show for a little while. And that was cool. I got tired. But, yeah, so that was kind of a bummer for sure.
So that is the thing. That, again, with all the intermission and the pre-games and everything, just download the 102.5 The Game app. Bang. And then I promise you, you won't be hearing Toronto Maple Leaf talk. You will be hearing Predators talk. So it's a good time to get that plug in there while I'm just talking about how much I hate Valley Sports. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago, and Ian, you got mad at me when I said that. I said, was it wrong for me to root for Valley Sports to fail? And you were like, yes. Well, is it wrong now, Ian?
Well.
Now that you don't get it?
I mean, sure, we're frustrated, but we don't want them to fail.
I want Valley Sports to fail. I want that bankruptcy court to say, screw you, goodbye, click the gavel, and now everybody else, you know, those TV deals are void, and the Atlanta Braves can get on a channel that I can watch.
Well, that's what we all want. So whatever that takes, then so be it.
That's all I'm hoping for. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025 here on our program. Coming up next. There are a lot of moves that could be left to make for the Titans, including one big name that's taken a visit. We'll get to that coming up. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
How do you view safety where you are right now? Obviously, you have Amani and Elijah, some other guys, but is that a potential priority here moving forward?
Yeah, it's a spot that we're going to definitely look at. You know, there were some places in the draft that you'd like to go, that you would have liked to have gone, during the draft to continue to add some, you know, some different guys to the room. You know, obviously it didn't work out for us, but, you know, didn't have to force anything either because, like you said, there's some accomplished guys there on the street that we would, you know, have a chance to take a look at.
That was Rand Carthon on Robbie and Retro talking about the safety position, in which he basically said, yeah, we probably need to go sign a veteran safety here at some point. And now there is a report, Jeremy Fowler at ESPN is reporting, that the Tennessee Titans are going to be hosting Tyler Boyd, the wide receiver from Cincinnati, for a visit. But Ian apparently is going to go visit the Chargers first.
That is correct.
So you know what the old saying is. You get the guy in your building, you let him leave, you're not going to get him. So the reason that it's coming out that he's going to the Titans is because they want the Chargers to know that if you don't give us the bag, we're going to Tennessee.
Well, the way he phrased this, what do you think? Free agent wide receiver Tyler Boyd was in Los Angeles this week to meet with the Chargers and will also head to the Titans later this week, per source.
Okay. I'm thinking that means Chargers, up the offer, or we will go to Tennessee. But make of that what you will. I think Tyler Boyd would be a good fit for the Titans. I like it. Now, when we were talking about free agency and wide receivers and things like that, I was kind of anti-Tyler Boyd, but I was anti-Tyler Boyd as the receiver, right? It's like Calvin Ridley is the receiver that they got. And I still have some questions about Ridley, specifically the drops, and that he's hitting the wrong side of 30 and everything else. But in this case, Boyd is the third guy in the slot. I like it a lot. And I really like it because I don't really like the tight ends. You know, I saw that Joe, you know, did like a confidence meter thing at The Athletic where he took each position and ranked, you know, how he felt about each position and his confidence in them and everything else. And like corner was number one and inside backer was number two. And I'm like, whatever you have for tight end, it's not good enough. I have no faith in the tight ends. And a tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend. Well, you don't really have a tight end. But with Tyler Boyd in the slot, he can be that reliable guy that Will Levis, you know, really wears out. Just pepper the football there. So I do like that move. That being said, the Titans still have a lot of needs. Like, I don't ever look at the draft as a, you know, draft for need to get your roster filled for the season kind of thing the way that I think a lot of other people do. Because 5 years from now, nobody will care what your needs were. Now, if you don't have a franchise left tackle and you can take a franchise left tackle, that's different. Like the Chargers have a franchise left tackle and they took a franchise left tackle. And I'm like, that's kind of stupid. The Falcons have a quarterback and they took a quarterback. Again, that's kind of stupid. But like Derrick Henry being drafted, when Derrick Henry was drafted, you didn't have a need at running back, but you drafted him. And 5 years later, nobody cared. Derrick Henry was one of the best players in the NFL. So to me, I think the Titans still need a tackle. And it probably has to be a swing tackle, somebody that has legitimately started at left tackle or right tackle. Because while the name Andrus Peat has come out a lot, and I'm not sure what the interest level of the Titans is anymore in Andrus Peat, but because the name Andrus Peat keeps coming up, he's a left tackle. He's a left tackle, left guard. He is a left side of the line player. Well, if you're planning to play J.C. Latham at left tackle, then it doesn't make a lot of sense to bring in a guy who's going to be a left tackle or left guard, right? I mean, I think the Titans are okay, supposedly, at left tackle and left guard. Or at least they better be, or you blew the 11th and 7th picks. So they really need a right tackle. And a lot of you, I'm sure, will probably bring up Chris Hubbard as a name. You know, that's the guy. I don't love it. I really don't. But beggars can't be choosers. I would still like to see the Titans bring in a veteran inside backer, even if he is primarily used as a special teamer. Think about what Wesley Woodyard was for this team. Because I don't want to put the pressure on Cedric Gray as a fourth rounder picked at 106. I don't want to put the pressure on him to start right away and play 100% of the defensive snaps. You know, David Long Jr. was a great day three pick, but he didn't start right away. What happened was the Titans had two starting inside backers, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, and then they got to the playoffs, and Jayon Brown got hurt because, well, Jayon Brown gets hurt. And when Jayon Brown got hurt, the Titans then turned to David Long Jr. because it was one of those next man up situations, and David Long Jr. played well. And so that's what I really would prefer the Titans do with Cedric Gray, which is they've got a veteran that's there and he can start if he has to. And then in training camp, Cedric Gray shows that he can start. Okay, do it. If not, if Cedric Gray shows that he needs time, but he'll be a special teamer, good. Do that. But what I really don't like, if you took him at 13, it's a different discussion. But you didn't. You took him at 106. I don't like the idea of it being like, all right, you're starting. Green dot inside backer. That makes me nervous. I think as Rand thinks, as Joe thinks, as everybody thinks, I think they need another safety. Now, Justin Simmons is the big name out there. His play, according to Pro Football Focus, has declined significantly over the last 4 years. And it's like each year there's a chunk that has declined. So he's the top name. I believe Marcus May has experience in the past with Denard Wilson. And then I think about a guy like Jayron Kearse, you know, from Dallas, the one-year, $2 million contract. That, you know, he's kind of a linebacker safety-ish. You know, he could be your green dot guy. So I'd keep an eye on a guy like Jayron Kearse, And then I think, you know, depth at edge rusher, a veteran player that's still productive like Jerry Hughes, who ate your lunch last year with the Texans. He could be somebody maybe take a look at. And then I put, you know, in the notes today before we knew that Tyler Boyd was going to be visiting the Titans, I put in the notes that I wouldn't mind seeing another veteran wide receiver in the mix. In fact, I can't even, Ian, I forgot that I put this in the notes. But when did Fowler put this out that Tyler Boyd was taking a visit?
Maybe 40 so minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, something like that.
And when did I send this grid in?
Early today.
Like 9 a.m.?
Yeah, something like that.
And it said, I wouldn't mind seeing another veteran wide receiver in the mix. A slot like Tyler Boyd could be a fit as a safety option for Will Levis. So, not that it's like Tyler Boyd was a super secret, pulled it out of my tush thing. I mean, the guy was in Cincinnati. He's a solid player. And your coach comes from Cincinnati. But I do think that that could be a possibility there. And I like it. But there's a lot of work that I think the Titans, I mean, I think there's a lot of work to be done there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One thing I am tired of is I am tired of the people that are mad, of people that are saying the Titans reached. People are, every time that one of these talking heads says that the Titans reached, people get mad. And I, honestly, I'm getting kind of sick of it because another ESPN guy does not like the Titans draft. We'll get to that coming up next. Let's talk about Window Nation. By the way, special time now that it's May, it is Window Nation's semi-annual sale. And it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows. 50% off. If you buy 10 windows, you're paying for 5. If you buy 100 windows, you're paying for 50. Think about that. Along with no interest for 5 years, plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy, or get hot, and you're paying high utility bills, that's a problem. Solve it with Window Nation. Because with the semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. And I've told you my story about scheduling my in-home estimate and how they were straight shooting with me, and they'll do the same with you. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Well, value really comes down to the person you're asking, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly they value the people who are making the pick. They value J.C. Latham enough to take him at 7. So I don't really get into that whole, okay, is it a good value for everybody? No, it probably isn't, but it's a good value for them. they valued T'Vondre Sweat enough to take him at 38. They made the pick at 38. So it's a good value for them. Now, person X on digital or person X on TV may not see it of that same value. But the thing is, person X and person Y weren't the ones making the pick. So you also have to look at, I mean, who knows if the Jets would have taken J.C. Latham or not, mm-hmm. as opposed to Olufashinu. We could all sit here and say, hey, you know, player so-and-so would have been available 8 picks later, but we don't know that. And then it goes back to what I said. They set their board. They trusted their board. They had guys that they valued, and they weren't risking not being able to get those guys.
That was TD talking about, hey, you know, who says it's a reach? You know, their board may be different than somebody else's. Well, add ESPN's Matt Miller to the list of people that are just killing the Titans over the draft. Matt Miller at ESPN.com. Which team produced your least favorite class? Miller, quote, the Tennessee Titans. It was a draft of reaches for the Titans and Brian Callahan's first one with general manager Rand Carthon in Tennessee. The team first reached for an offensive tackle at 7, at least based on my number 34 ranking of J.C. Latham. Now, look, I'm not one of these draft gurus. He is. But 34 seems a little over the top. Like, I think it was probably a reach, too. So he's probably 12th or 13th. 34th? He continues. The same goes for Texas defensive tackle T'Vondre Sweat, a player whom teams have dropped to the third day. The third day. No, not the third round. The third day after a DWI arrest in early April. He went number 38. Linebacker Cedric Gray and corner Jarvis Brownlee Jr. are very solid players from day 3, but the Titans didn't address left tackle. Latham is really a right tackle, he writes. Edge rusher or wide receiver early in the draft, and that will hurt the team's development. And I guarantee you, some people are going to say, well, he's wrong. Dane Brugler was wrong when he ranks him 26th. Mel Kiper was wrong when he gave him a C+. And Matt Miller's wrong when he says they're his least favorite draft class. And again, basically said, yeah, Latham's not that good, and he's a right tackle, not a left tackle. And Sweat was a reach at 38. And again, he says teams had dropped him to the third day, meaning he thinks you could have gotten him at 106. There is a drastic difference between 38 and 106. Now, here's what I will say. There are two thoughts that I have on this. The first is, I will die on the hill that T'Vondre Sweat is a really solid player. Like, as a, you know, I talk about elite players, but I really mean elite prospects. He is a solid prospect. He is a good prospect at his size with his feet. And I believe, given the way the Titans are built, he says, you know, they didn't get an edge rusher. But see, I think having T'Vondre Sweat is going to allow them to make Jeffrey Simmons more of an edge rusher. So when it comes to the player, I like the player. Now, again, if he's on the board across the league at 106 and you took him at 38, you know, that's bad business. But I like the player. Now, none of this matters if he ends up, if the red flags end up coming to fruition, none of that matters. Then he becomes, you know, Pac-Man 3.0 with Isaiah Wilson being Pac-Man 2.0. And before you go crazy about me saying that, I said in 2020, after Isaiah Wilson jumped off the balcony of that TSU party, I was like, man, could he be Pac-Man 2.0? And you all got mad about that. So don't get mad about this. And I should say this. When Pac-Man got suspended by Roger Goodell for an entire season, I believe that Pac-Man was the best player on the team when that happened. And that was a good team that got hot at the end of the year. And I thought Pac-Man was the best player on that team. But it doesn't do you any good if he's not on the field. But when it comes, the second thing I have, when it comes to the reaches, even though I like Sweat, when everybody says you reached, you probably did, right? Like, I know the idea is, well, our board says he's not a reach. Or, well, what does Mel Kiper know? But again, it's not just Mel Kiper. It's Dane Brugler. It's Daniel Jeremiah. It's Matt Miller. It's all the guys who literally are paid millions of dollars to do this. And Mel Kiper is paid millions of dollars to do this. It's everybody. And that's a bad sign. I go back again to 2022 when Bill Belichick drafted an average guard, Cole Strange, with the 26th pick in the first round. And it was a shocking pick at the time it happened, but it didn't just shock, you know, the average Joes like me and you. It literally shocked the defending Super Bowl champion Rams, GM and coach when it happened. This is what it looks like when an NFL coach and GM that have done all the work and have the boards in front of them find out that somebody reached on a pick.
Definitely. A lot of times if as an example, you really, really
just went.
Oh my, UT Chattanooga to the first round. Hey, where is?
How about that? And we wasted our time watching him, thinking he'd be at 104, hey. Maybe.
I mean, they're literally laughing. Like McVay's like, "Wow, they took that freaking guy in the first round." And what's his name? Sneed. He's almost speechless because he's afraid. He's like, oh, crap. I may say, like, that we thought this guy's, like, the 97th best player in this draft. He's like, oh, wow, UT Chattanooga to the first round. Like, holy crap, they took him in the first round? And I do fear that that is what happened with Tavondre Sweat. Like, I think Latham's a reach. I don't think anybody thought that, you know, at 7. That they were like, they took Latham? I don't think anybody thought that. I think people thought like, yeah, we have him 14th on our board. Ah, yeah, we have him 5th on our board. Yeah, something like that. The Sweat one, that one's like, woo. Alex from Franklin says, Jared, why is everyone in the national media against Will Levis, and why does Dane Brugler have the Titans picking second? Well, Dane Brugler has the Titans picking second because he based his mock draft for 2025 off of the Vegas betting odds. So it is not Dane Brugler's opinion that has the Titans picking second. It is the betting odds that say you're going to be the second worst team in the league. And I'm going to give you the answer. Ian, I think you know this. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Why does the national media hate Will Levis?
Why do they hate Will Levis?
According to, you know, the way that these, you know, boohoo Titan fans are saying it.
I'm not sure where you're going with this one.
Because they think he sucks. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean he sucks, but they think he sucks. That's what that means. So if you want to be like, they're wrong, you can't.
And they have a new coach. You know, that has to play into it.
I don't know, man. I don't think people liked Levis last year either.
Well, I'm just saying with the win totals and people being down, you know, new coach, young quarterback.
I mean, yes. But again, I think the reason why people think Will Levis isn't going to work out is because they think Will Levis sucks. And to be fair, most of the teams around the league didn't like Will Levis last year, and you didn't like Will Levis that much last year either because you took a guard before you took him. A guard. And there we were thinking he was going to be available at 104. Ha, 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 ha. All right, Jared versus Joe is next. We got the Predators. We got the draft. We got Tavondre Sweat. I don't know what Robbie and Joe have been talking about this week because I've been waking up late. So I'm sure there will be some arguing on Jared versus Joe, which is next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.